Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Hey, and I'm doing my best to be positive, Chuck Mockler. Morning, everybody.
We are your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you locked on Clippers 5 days a week.
We absolutely do. I said good morning because it comes out at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday.
It's such a wonderful
time. It's a much more fun time.
It's a wonderful time most of the time. However, today we have to talk about the Clippers collapse versus the Mavs in game five.
Collapse. They threw it away. We're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. We'll talk about what we didn't like. There's still some shining lights from this one, which is the thing that I think is difficult for Clippers fans because like there are glimpses of hope. And there is stuff that's going well.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about that. And then today is Thursday. So we're talking Thirsty Thursday, which is what we want to see more of. And honestly, if I'm being real with y'all, it's just going to be more playoff talk.
But it of course.
But it won't be just focused strictly on this game. It'll be kind of more overarching stuff. So can't wait to get into that. Mm-hmm. And then in shavings, we're going to talk about the Clippers test broadcast for children.
I told you it was a bad idea.
In one of the most stressful games that you could ever introduce a child to. So we're going to talk about that. And then Chauncey Billups in the mix for the head coaching position for the Celtics. Anyways, we'll talk all that and more coming up right about now. But first, gotta let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Oof. If you aren't drinking it already, you should be. We love cloves on this podcast. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it, which I do.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, welcome to Clippers Mavs Game 5 recap. Whew.
Recap, am I right?
I mean, pretty damn close. The chess match started early in game five. Mm-hmm. Carlisle went huge with the Mavs. They started Boban. We're going to talk about it more on Thirsty Thursday, but it did kind of flummox the Clippers. But we got to get the big thing out of the way. This one hurts.
This one super hurts. Well, can we circle back to the Boban thing for 1 minute?
Sure.
The entire team knew that Carlisle was going to counter by putting in Boban.
Right.
Ty Lue alluded to it
in
press conferences before.
Right.
And I have to be honest. Like, look, he did shoot 50% from the floor, but overall, he was a net negative.
Yeah. We should have attacked him more.
I agree. I do think that we should have attacked him more. I think that we did curb that a little bit. And I do think that the size is something that throws you off.
We took way less attempts in the paint in the first half in the restricted area than our season average by, like, 6 or 7. Like, it was very clearly an issue for the Clippers.
Totally.
Which is so frustrating.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, they just should have been prepared for it. I mean, they even talked about how, like, that would likely be the counter. So, right. I don't know how they weren't prepared. It just kind of reminds me of, like, a quote that I loved when Boban played for this team.
What makes it suck, too.
When he gave Ayton a hard time, and Ayton said in the post-game presser, not going to lie, big dude threw me off.
Dude, exactly. That's exactly what happened. This one hurts, especially if you watch this game, this one hurts for Terrence Mann, I think, in a particular way. Terrence Mann made a phenomenal defensive play.
Yes.
When the Clippers were down just one possession. In the transition, he had a chance to take the lead. Paul George passed to Terrence Mann, which I still think was a good decision. If you watch the game.
No, that was great.
He had a wide open layup.
Yeah.
It was right there. And
he passed out.
He kicked
it
out. It's going to be known if this series ends up not going the way we want it to. This will be known as the kick out.
Yeah. No, it will not.
I hope not, but it was real.
Not to me, it will not. I think.
But I feel for him is what I'm saying. Like, he was so hyped up after such a good defensive play.
No.
God damn, man.
I super feel for him, too. I think that if you are this team and you are blaming a collapse on a sophomore player. On a sophomore player
Clippers
playing in clutch time.
Yeah.
No.
The Clippers lost this game in the third quarter.
They lost this game in the third quarter.
Let's get into what we didn't like. And we got to start off with Luka had a fun time tonight at Staples. Luka had a ball. Yeah. He could do anything.
He owns Staples, apparently.
More so
than Kawhi and Paul George.
He's going to...
JK.
He doesn't. He can't have a triple-double. Even if he only scores...
He didn't in rebounds.
Okay, right. He can't have near a triple-double.
He only had 8 rebounds, Charles.
He can't... Like, even if he only has 15 points, if he has double-digit assists, we're still probably losing that game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got to take one thing away. We played well against him in the third. So, this funny thing, Rondo, who was horrible on the offensive side of the ball tonight.
He was an ofer.
He was, when Luka, he takes away Luka's step back.
Yes.
We were kind of just basically tailgating Luka and like just kind of herding him into floaters in the third. And then that just kind of disappeared. We just like, dude, we just can't let him do everything. It's like Jokic. It's like any of these great players. It's like LeBron. It's like you can't let them do everything.
No, the thing is like the 42 points is fine. I mean, he shot 46% overall and 50% from three.
It was absurd.
Some of these were tough fucking shots.
Oh,
man.
You can't. You don't score that many in the first half without hitting a tough shot.
That is what it is. But like the 14 assists on top of that, I mean, that's backbreaking. Like that's.
Yeah.
If you didn't watch this game at all and you were to just look at Luka's stat line and you see 40 plus points and 10 plus assists, you know the Clippers are probably losing that game. I'm sorry.
100%.
Like they just probably are.
Well, we let him get close to the basket. We let him do whatever he wanted. What else did we not like in this game?
I gotta be honest, man.
Please.
Kawhi and Paul George just did not bring it offensively.
Dude, and like Kawhi had a rough fourth. Kawhi missed the shot that would have tied it up.
It happens. But
still sucks.
They combined for their worst game offensively of the entire series.
Yeah.
Kawhi had 20 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, but 5 turnovers. So those 5 assists are essentially null and void.
He went 1 of 7 from 3, shot 36% overall. He only made 6 2-pointers. Like he had 7 makes to 5 turnovers.
Paul George was the better of the two, all right? He was the more impactful player tonight, but he finished with 23, 10, and 6. Look, the 10 and 6 is...
3 blocks.
...is wonderful. Yeah, and no, he defensively did some great things, but the 4 turnovers were a backbreaker, the fouls were a super backbreaker, and only 23 points on splits of like 47. Well, I mean, his splits were good. 47, 43, 100 from the line.
You'll take that.
Yeah, no, you'll take that. The biggest thing, the turning point of this game, as we like earlier alluded to, was like Paul George picked up his 4th foul in the third on a very stupid push-off.
The dumbest foul you could get. He gave him a forearm shiver.
It was at the time where we had a lead, and offensively, we were getting every shot that we wanted. Now, they weren't all falling. I will say that. They were not all falling.
Too. Yeah.
But we were getting what we wanted. You want a wide open 3, you got it. You want to look at the basket, no problem.
Yeah.
And this, like, just this 5 minutes to close out the third quarter with no Paul George.
Well, this is the question, right? This is a bigger issue to me than the Terrence Mann kickout is. I think that Ty Lue should have, and sure, maybe hindsight's definitely probably playing a part in what I'm about to say, but even at the point, we saw this happen earlier in the season where one of Kawhi or PG gets into foul trouble and Lue immediately takes him out. And then he brings him in and I was like, oh, well now this is our chance to try and get it back. He should have left PG in. And I'm not saying he should have left him in for the whole quarter, dude, but like he took him out. We didn't change the lineup. Things started going haywire with the turnovers.
I mean,
we had 12 turnovers in this game, and it felt like they all happened in the third. This is where the Clippers, they let
at least
slip.
A third of them did.
Yeah, right. Like the Mavs went on like a double digit to single digit, like a low single digit run. Like, dude, these unforced turnovers.
They went on a double digit run. We were down double digits coming into the fourth, and we had the lead.
It was just like, I think you should have left them in a little longer. I'm not saying play him with five fouls.
I think he should have pulled him for a second. I think he should have pulled him for a couple of minutes. I still think you need him in the last 2 minutes to close
the
corner.
Sure, I'll take that.
In the last 2 minutes to close the corner. Especially
I would have loved that. How about that?
Especially with what was happening and like, I don't know what's going on with Kawhi. I'm not going to speculate because it's just one game. I'm not going to speculate because it's just one game, but like, he was not looking like offensively the player that we needed to close out what was a pivotal game.
And I hope it's not just the size throwing him off.
It's not that, dude.
Like,
it's not that.
Oof. I don't know. We're going to do the what we liked probably in the second segment because we got a couple more things we didn't like. Rondo, 0-for from the field. Not good.
Yes. Still tied.
And we're on the Rondo train now.
Still tied with the most assists for the game. He did have 6 assists.
Great.
Tied with Paul George.
There was some shot selection. There was 2 threes in the third, kind of when things weren't going well, where it was like, man, I know these are open, but they were early in the clock.
That's the thing.
There's better shooters out there.
It was just early in the clock. Yeah, definitely.
Also, dude, okay, so Patrick Beverley played 11 seconds in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Why even? And this isn't a dig on Patrick Beverley. Anything Ty Lue was, he praised him in Zoo in the pregame presser, about like being a good cheer squad for the team. Why even play the guy 11 seconds?
It's whatever. I'm not worried about that. Like, that's not what caused this loss.
Oh, no, not at all. But like, also, here's one thing that did cause this loss.
So,
dude, Clippers look tired.
Yes.
No surge is taking a very real toll.
Oh yeah,
not having that, it's like,
Batum needed to play 40 minutes tonight.
Absolutely,
and I hope that he's at that point physically, because if we're gonna stay alive to take this thing to 7 games, he might need to play 40 minutes.
Agreed. I mean, I can't. There's no way that I can, because like, so if you look at, so like, there's no surge, right? And with Patrick Beverley out of the lineup, like, our rotation is even shorter. We don't have any bodies to throw. Like, yes, we have Luke Kennard. Terrence Mann is probably going to see more minutes in game 6. I think he just might have to, dude.
I think that, like, maybe Terrence Mann should come in earlier and, like, dude, I love Terrence Mann. You know we love Terrence Mann on this podcast. I don't know that he's the guy who should be closing the game in a pivotal game 5.
Agreed. That's not his fault. But like, our guard rotation is old, so like, it's gonna be interesting. We're gonna talk about what we liked in the second segment, because there were some things we liked.
Yes.
But first, hey, what a perfect time for a Rock Auto Live ad read.
Hey.
With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, like, why are you wearing that Clippers shirt? And wait while the counterman orders the parts off their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Spoiler alert, the computer in your pocket is your phone. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on. And their How Did You Hear About Us section, so they know that we sent you. If you say you're a Clippers fan, they might give you a grief discount. They won't. I'm just kidding. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Okay, so we're back with Thirsty Thursday, and we're going to kick things off talking about what we liked from this game. Because I know this first segment was a little down, but I got to be honest, there were parts where this team looked really, really good on honestly both ends of the floor.
That's why this game is so frustrating. Because like, there was a stretch. So at one point, Kawhi ripped the ball from Boban. It was Kawhi and Boban going after the ball at the same time, and Kawhi shoved 290 pounds of Boban away from him, ripped the ball away, started the break, found Batum in the corner. That's what I heard on the radio. I think he's heavier than that, though. Found Batum in the corner, and he hit a three. We were up five in the third. Like, that was gorgeous. And then things went off the rails. Like, we cut the lead to being able to go ahead with around a minute left.
So, like,
the Mavs were not scoring in the fourth. Like, there was some good stuff.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like,
God damn it.
I know that, once again, this sounds maybe a little bit negative, but, like, there were – I just felt like there were stretches of the game where we were either doing really, really great stuff defensively or we were doing really, really good stuff offensively.
Yeah, there's no
– And, like, we weren't – like, we just weren't able to sort of put the pieces together cohesively. But, I mean – there were some really good flashes, like the one that you mentioned. And, like, defensively in the fourth, I mean, this team, like, really came back from a deficit that I didn't think they would even be able to chip close to.
That's a good call.
And,
yeah.
And so
could have rolled over. It teetered for a while where I was like, oh, man, the Clippers, like, this is going to be bad.
That definitely, I mean, gives me hope. I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, this game is, you know, really, like, a couple of –
horrible just, turnovers away.
Yeah.
It's from, mostly the horrible turnovers in the third.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why, like, I'm not going to point to any one play because, I mean, like, all of this stuff, you know, it's an avalanche or, a snowball effect. So
both work.
Yeah.
Snowball is just a smaller avalanche.
Really, there was some good stuff, though. One thing that I particularly loved from this game is, like, we had the role players really step up.
Dude, I mean, Mook hit a shot that wasn't technically in clutch time that, like, cut the lead to single digits. That was huge.
Yes. Morris, I mean, like, you know, the fouls, that flagrant call, which
I don't even, I forgot that happened until you just said this. That was an absurd flagrant
call. I'm going to talk about that more in Thirsty Thursday because I think that there was a thing that sort of, there was a thing that irked me, like seeing some of the on-court stuff being at the game from this. But Morris, he finished with 16-7-3 with two steals and a block on splits of like 40, 50, 100. So pretty solid. Batum was a super impactful player.
Batum dunked on Boban.
He dunked on Boban. He was a team best plus 18 in box plus ones, which, you know, if you listen to this podcast or, you know, you look at stats a lot, it's not everything, but watching the game, he was super impactful. He's been a great cover for Luka. I think he only played 33 minutes in this game. It was sub 35. We're going to need him for 40 minutes if the Clippers are going to stay alive to go to a game seven.
Absolutely.
And he still finished with 10, 7, and 2. And these seven boards, I got to be honest with you, every single one of them to me felt like the most crucial board ever. Every time he was ripping one down, I was like, God damn, we really needed that board.
Yeah.
So that was huge. And then Reggie, honestly, came up really big offensively.
I have weird feelings about the Reggie minutes, if I'm being totally honest.
Look, he scored as many points as Kawhi. He finished
That's more on Kawhi than it is good.
He finished with 22 and 3. He shot 50% from 3. Now you want to give your thorn on this rose?
So here's my thorn on this rose. Reggie Jackson taking 12 three-pointers is exactly what Rick Carlisle wants.
Yes, it's not necessarily
like, he was the
formula.
Leading scorer for the Clippers heading into the fourth, and Rick Carlisle had to have been like, this is perfect. Like,
yes.
Let's let Reggie take these threes. I'm interested to see what happens with his minutes in game six. I don't know if cut it. Reggie is the – one of the things that makes Reggie frustrating is that he is a conundrum, right? Is that he shoots 50%. On 12 attempts from three, but there's just things where guys got to cover for him when we're on the other end. It's just one of those things where you're just like, it's just frustrating.
Yes.
Like, how are we feeling heading into game six before we get into a quick Thirsty Thursday segment?
I mean, no one's won at home yet, so I guess that plays into our favor.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better. Hey, here's to silencing 17,000 fans. Let's go Clips!
Let's go Clips!
Clips in seven! Clips in seven! Let's get into Thirsty Thursday right now. Right off the bat, I'm thirsty for wondering how we can combat the Mavs supersized lineups now. Is that crazy? I feel crazy having to wonder about that.
So before I directly address this question, I just do want to say this. I feel like coming into this game and throughout the course of this game, Ty Lue broke Rick Carlisle a little. He had more substitutions going on during this game than I think I've ever seen.
He was
in a game
was,
like this.
Yeah. What's there your anecdote? You have a specific anecdote because you were in the building.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So there was the, during the Marcus Morris technical foul call,
right?
You know, which, whatever. It
flagrant.
It was a flagrant. I didn't see it in the game until they showed it on the replay, but he looks back at Kleba, throws the bow on the box out. But the thing is like during this play review, the Mavs ran this like a timeout. They were in a huddle. Rick Carlisle had the whiteboard going, and the Clippers were kind of standing and milling around on the other side. And
you want a little more.
Look,
You want to act like maybe you might lose this game and it's going to be a game.
I don't like feeding into narrative things like the Clippers, you know, like, I don't know, think that they got it or whatever, or think that they're in the driver's seat. But it just did show a little bit of a difference. And then there were times during this game where Rick Carlisle would literally come into a timeout, like pulling
Jim Carrey style,
pulling his non-existent hair on his head. And like all these micro adjustments and stuff, like I really thought that Ty Lue had kind of figured something out, had kind of countered something. And, you know, I think that things are different in this game, and we feel a lot different if, you know, Kawhi and Paul George didn't combine, have their worst game of the series so far, which, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to bag on these guys. Like, it just...
But we're going to go as far as they take us. We've said that the whole playoff.
It just is what, you know, like, it just is what happened offensively. Like, it was, you know, it was their worst combined game offensively, and you know what, like... That's probably going to lose you a game, especially in a game where, you know, Luka goes for, what, 42 and 14?
He had his best game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kawhi, I mean, 2 and 3 had their worst, and Luka had literally his best.
So I do think that that's, like, another one of those positive things where, like, Ty Lue has, like, figured out some stuff, and the small ball lineup has been working, and Carlisle was really sort of trying to throw curveballs with his back against the wall. And guess what, man?
It worked.
He, like, I feel like we've gotten into a weird boxing analogy, like just the general Clippers.
It's all adjustments
With this matchup in particular. But like this really kind of felt like that thing where like you think you have somebody on the ropes and you're like swinging, and then they just come back with a counter.
I can agree. Are we in a freaking are we in a Ward Gotti scenario right now? Are Clippers Mavs Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti in this first round right now, specifically?
Maybe.
It's pretty close. Like, they're throwing some haymakers.
Yeah. I think it's more of a Pacquiao Marquez.
Okay, I'll take that. Oof, that one knockout. Oof. Something I'm thirsty for.
You choose who's who, Clippers fans.
Something I'm thirsty for. What do we have to do to take advantage of the bonus? What is it? Between...
How many minutes did we spend on the bonus?
So just in the second and the fourth, combined 13 minutes.
Wow.
Of total bonus time. 13! Like, Ty Lue's talked about wanting to attack the paint or die trying. This is when you do it.
Yeah.
If you're in the bonus and so, you have two... Dallas has big guys out there run up like... God damn, man.
So here's the thing that like ties back into the narrative for me of the, I thought that Ty Lue kind of broke Rick Carlisle. I thought that at points the Clippers were overthinking it offensively. And we've seen this before they're passing up, you know, like a makeable shot essentially for what seems like possibly a better shot. But I do feel like there's an aspect of like just not really going with the flow.
There's a rejection of the flow.
Yeah,
which I think I identify with what you're saying.
Yeah,
I get that.
I think that that is something that I'm like thirsty for to like just once again, you know, like look, a key turning point in this thing was Ty Lue made the very like decisive statement that hey. We're stripping things down. Like, we're going to basics.
Simple. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it worked.
And then we kind of just like drifted away from it, I feel
And I feel like in this game, you know, we kind of got in our own way sometimes offensively.
100%.
And I bring up the offense so much in this because I feel like, you know, a lot of times...
It's where the turnovers come from.
I've been critical of people being critical of the Clippers, like, clutch offense or whatever. This was a game where we still held the Mavs to 105 with Luka having 42 and 14. So, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that this was a situation where sometimes the offense kind of tripped over its own feet.
Absolutely. And real quick, just kind of a broad overlook to game six. What are we looking for from Ty Lue? Let's talk Ty Lue, because I said it in the first segment. I kind of had an issue with some of the rotation minutes in terms of how they'd distributed. Like,
I think we need to see 35 to 40 minutes of Nick Batum.
So who does that take minutes away from? Reggie? Reggie played 28.
Or Zoo? I mean, like...
Yeah. Zoo was such a conundrum in this game. The boards, we needed them.
Yeah.
We lost the boards in this game, and we needed boards when they're going big. Like if the Mavs are going big, and
Zoo was huge on the boards.
Because we were hitting shots early is what was so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if we were hitting shots early, this game is totally different.
Like, they weren't even like, dude, our first, what, three or four made field goals in this game were threes, like, and we missed at least two point blank looks at the basket.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a thing that would continue.
Man. All right. Let's hope Ty Lue tightens it up.
This shit is not over yet, though.
Clippers fans. Absolutely not.
I think we just
already said Clips in seven. We yelled it not 3 minutes ago.
I think we just might be in for a goddamn fight for a first round.
Couple more heart attacks on deck, maybe. Until then, where could someone place a bet on game six if they wanted to, Will?
Look, the only place to bet, as far as I'm concerned, and the only place that we trust is Bet Online.
All about trust.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to place a bet on all your sports action. Football, over. College basketball, donezo. But the NHL, the NBA, the WNBA, and the MLB are all in full swing. BetOnline doesn't just cover sports. They cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's on top of your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, welcome to Shavings. Okay, so we talked about the Clippers kids cast on the last episode, and I said that it was an interesting idea.
I said I'm pro it.
You said you were pro it. Tonight's game was screened for children, and I think exposing the kids to this level of stress that early is potentially detrimental to their development. Just shop it in the regular season. Like, they thought of the Clips kid cast, like, when the playoffs started.
No, I'm
like,
with you.
I'm just being a dick. I'm just being a dick right now, but like, it's pretty funny, right? Like, like, you're a kid, and you're like, oh, there's a kid like me who's going to talk about the Clippers game. And then it's this Clippers game.
No, I'm with you. It's difficult because...
Like, the Clippers are trying to get new young fans, and this is what happened.
And, like, I mean, but, like, you can't predict the outcome of any game necessarily.
Sure.
You know, except for Bet Online.
Damn, son, where'd you bet on this?
No, but the thing is like, I mean, this is... I hate to say it, but, like, this is kind of what being a sports fan is.
Well, it's specifically also, like, if you're a young kid, you want to be a Clippers fan, welcome to the real world, buddy.
Welcome to hell, buddy. Like,
put on your hard hat and go to work. There's no child labor laws in Clippers fandom.
No, you're 100% right. This is the, industrial revolution where kids are going into the factory. Dude, they got their hammers, up, you know?
This was like,
they're getting gruesome injuries.
This was a hope you brought enough for everybody game for the young fan. Just imagine being a parent and being like, you always want to watch the Glints of Fun Time. I have nephews. That being said, it was a pretty fun broadcast. I watched a little bit of it. You were at the game. I didn't get to go. Paul George would hit a three, and there'd be like a little like river come out, and then Paul George on a boat would like, it was a fun time. I'm not against it.
And you know what? Like,
I also think it could just maybe be marketed as like, if teams would embrace legal cannabis use, this could be marketed in a much different way that would expose fans who have a disposable income to some interesting things.
Wait, so you're trying to give kids weed?
No, not kids. I'm trying to say market it towards adults who smoke weed, like Taco Bell did the fourth meal.
Gotcha.
Remember when Taco Bell was like, it's not the munchies, it's fourth meal.
Yeah.
Like, do like a trippy thing.
No, I think this reach towards younger fans is awesome. Like getting the next generation like excited about Clippers basketball. I got to be honest, there were times in the stadium tonight where I think that we could have done better as fans.
You were pretty disappointed.
We could have done better as fans. I think the loudest, honestly, the stadium got was on that no call on Kawhi, and I think it was the second quarter.
Yeah.
Dude, he got hacked so hard. Dude, there were a bunch of no calls in this game too, which like,
dude, the refs were letting things go.
I don't even want to get into because that's one of those things that like,
for honestly both
you
sides,
you can't control. You can't game plan and you can't fucking control.
And it was honestly both sides because like, dude, there are some times where Boban, I was like, the Clippers are playing good defense on Boban, but he's getting hammered down there.
So no, I'm all for it, like for bringing the kids in, and also like, shout out Noah Eagle for, you know, like,
dude,
he's kind of like cornering the market right now on like bridging sort of the gap between, you know, like regular sort of sports calling and sort of like bringing in a younger generation. And I think that that's really, really cool.
He's putting together a wildly impressive resume right now.
Multi hyphenate over there.
Oof, must be nice. And then lastly, Chauncey Billups could possibly be the next coach for the Boston Celtics. You, me, and Fatty Patty C kind of talked the whole Celtics disbanding into existence yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good time.
I don't know if we were ahead of the curve or just with the curve or
whatever. We were probably ahead of it. This would be cool. I feel like his name is always thrown around for these jobs the way that, like, we're going to move you to Seattle is moved around for expansion teams in the NBA. Like, I never know how much of it's real. And that's not a discredit to Chauncey Billups.
Oh, I bet there were so many move the Clippers to Seattle tweets tonight.
Oh, yeah. But he's just been brought up for like GM jobs and like other coaching jobs. And he hasn't taken, like, I don't know if I want him to go to the Celtics. Because I don't know. Look, most rational people probably know that like black head coaches in the NBA don't really get a fair shake.
Yeah.
And I think going to a Celtics team that might be like jettisoning Martin or Marcus Smart and like in this weird, not a rebuild, but not where you thought you were going to be type stuff. Like,
I gotta be honest,
that's a tough position. And if Chauncey Billups takes that job, I don't think he gets a fair shake.
I got to be honest, though. I mean, are the Clippers not in the same situation as the Celtics if they lose in the first round?
But he's not the head coach.
Yeah.
He's the assistant coach. And also, not to sound like a dickhead, LA isn't Boston, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Feel me? All right. I think we got to get out of here. Let's give these people their morning back.
Hey, you know what? Like, look.
Clips in seven.
Clips in seven.
You got to believe. There's one option, and it's believe.
There were some great things that happened in this game. I don't lack confidence that we could go back to Dallas and steal another win. It's just, you know, our backs are fully against the wall now. We got to win 2 out of 2. But if there's a team that can do it, I think it's us.
You're G-dang right. Friday's episode preview of the quite literally most important game of the Clippers season.
Yes.
Game 6 versus the Mavs. A love, Mary quarantine. No idea what we're going to be talking about on that. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Whew. Also, no matter what happens on the Friday episode, we'll have like a quick, maybe just quick live stream or something like that post game just to talk about it because we won't be doing a Saturday episode. But we'll be talking about no matter what happens post game.
Yeah,
don't
maybe.
Be worried about that. Okay, one of us will be.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, are you going to kill me? until then, Will, where can these people tell their friends that they listened to us at 7 a.m. before they started work.
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, yeah, you can probably find us. Tell your friends that might listen to a weird podcast thing.
Yeah.
Check us out. We come at you, as we mentioned up top, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have you listen.
We would shout out to the guy who we kind of called out last episode. I said he said our names wrong when he would talk about us. He uses speech to text when he drives.
Oh, cool.
So that's like, shout out that dude. Hope he's doing well.
Yeah, shout out that dude.
Hope he has a good work.
Sorry,
day.
Chuck called also, you out. Also, man, what an a-hole.
Also, thanks for listening so long.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how many people listen to the whole thing. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We really appreciate you.